WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House pumping the brakes on auto tariffs for Canada and Mexico, issuing a 30-day exemption after U.S. automakers sounded the alarm.
The White House says it's because the president spoke to those big three automakers. They do not want these tariffs to go into effect. A lot is on the line here for these car makers. Some of the CEOs have warned that these 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico would be disastrous to their businesses. So they want the White House to put pause on all of this.
ABC Selena Wang. The suspected mastermind of the deadly suicide bombing attack in Kabul, Afghanistan in 2021, making his first court appearance today, Mohammad Sharifullah is described as an ISIS-K operative. Pakistani intelligence officials turned him over to U.S. authorities. L.A. County suing SoCal Edison, alleging the utility's equipment is responsible for January's deadly Eaton fire. Investigators have not determined a cause yet. SoCal denies it is to blame. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany has reintroduced legislation to eliminate most renewable energy subsidies for solar and wind energy projects on farms. The bill, titled the Future Agricultural Retention and Management Act, would prevent taxpayer funding from being used to encourage developers to use those power sources instead of others. The legislation would not outright prevent developers from building wind turbines or solar panels. Tiffany says the legislation is meant to protect agricultural land for future generations. Opioid deaths are on the decline in Wisconsin as settlement funding from national litigation streams in. The funding has been used for harm reduction efforts, public awareness campaigns, and school-based prevention programs across the state. Thanks to those efforts, officials say opioid deaths in the state last June fell to their lowest levels since April of 2020. Wisconsin will have received about $780 million from the various settlements by 2028. 30% goes to state programs, with the rest going to local programs. A federal office in Ashland is among those scheduled to be closed by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. According to a press release from the U.S. House Natural Resources Committee, Ashland's Bureau of Indian Affairs is slated to be closed by the end of the year. The agency works to maintain productive relationships with tribal governments, including the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa in the region. The lease on the building, which houses about 40 agency employees, originally would have expired in 2028. Sawyer County authorities are still working to identify a suspect in a string of suspected arsons in November. According to law enforcement authorities, nobody was injured in the six structure fires, but some homes, businesses, and a veterans center suffered significant damage. The Sawyer County Sheriff's Office is working with the Wisconsin Department of Justice to analyze further evidence from the fires. Sheriff's Office officials are also reminding residents to contact them if they have any information about the suspected arson incidents. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers keep their kicker. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers re-signing place kicker Brandon McManus to a new three-year contract worth over $15 million. McManus, who turns 34 in July, will be guaranteed $5 million and given a $5 million signing bonus. The New York Jets releasing Devontae Adams, and now fans tweeting the Packers should bring the 32-year-old receiver back to Green Bay. College basketball, Marquette takes on UConn tonight at the Gamble Pavilion in Connecticut. The Badgers in Minneapolis for the border battle with Minnesota. NBA, the Bucks with a 127-121 win over the Hawks in Atlanta. Giannis with his seventh triple-double of the season. Doc Rivers asked about the mix of young and veteran players on this Bucks roster.
We're kind of mixed. We play young and old, but we're not only just veteran players. We have, like, straight grown-ups. I keep saying it. Everybody on our team is over themselves. There's nothing. There's no stuff. What I call clutter. The guys just play together. They want to do right. It's an absolutely fantastic team to coach.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some lingering flurries and snow showers, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight, and the wind dying down. A low in the low teens. Turning mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high to the upper 30s. And more sunshine for Friday, high in the mid-30s. Even warmer this weekend. Currently, it's 26.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time on The Serious Side. We'll talk about the 80,000 cuts proposed to the Department of Veterans Affairs and on what's worse, the Olio edition. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wild.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is The Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in and listening. You can also be a part, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. JustPS working hard on the board and the sound, which we're going to get to today. Also, Matt Rothschild joining me until 6 o'clock. We're going to wrap this whole show up at 5:50 with Tell Us Something Good. You know the drill. We end the day on a positive note, so join us for that as well. Matt, Donald Trump spoke for a historic, 100 minutes yesterday, and I was traveling, so I didn't get a chance to see it or hear it live, but I know you did. So.
It was agonizing. It was excruciating.
Why was it?
That's 100 minutes of my life I'm never getting back.
We do have some sound. We're going to highlight a little bit of it. We have some Bernie Sanders as well. Senator Melissa Alyssa Slotkin, a Democrat from Michigan, gave a response as well. But Matt, before we get to the Trump sound, at least just a few clips that we have to give a little flavor, the whiff of authoritarianism. You know,
stinky.
What was of the time you spent as you reflected and in regret afterward? As you pondered your life and wondered why you did that, what was your takeaway, Matt?
Well, it was just the same old Trump, you know. It was just the same bluster, the same bowl, the same boasts. The speech was littered with whopping lies and the same old stale rants about immigrants and trans folks and DEI. Not much about solving everybody's financial day-to-day problems. And also just nothing but sneering contempt for the Democrats. And he used poor old Joe Biden as a punching bag over and over and over again. I thought that was really repulsive.
Yeah, keep on blaming the last guy. I mean, come on, man. At some point, Donald Trump, this is your economy. This is your administration. Let's get a couple of the lowlights, if we would, Justin.
Yeah, fine.
Folks, you got to have your broccoli before you can get the cheese.
But broccoli's good.
I do like broccoli, too. Before we get some Senator Sanders, but let's start at the top. The most successful 6 weeks to start a term? I mean, really? Let's hear it.
I stood beneath the dome of this Capitol and proclaimed the dawn of the golden age of America. From that moment on, it has been nothing but swift and unrelenting action to usher in the greatest and most successful era in the history of our country.
Oh, God. I mean, you know, I get really scared when people talk like that because that means it's going to be terrible. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, everything's going great. Nothing could possibly happen. It's a beautiful. Then you get a car accident. You know, it's like, I really doubt that. And if his action or the multiple executive orders that he issued, and many of them are held up in court, you know, we're going to really have a test here, Matt, coming soon of this administration and his ability to cajole Congress, because we got a budget fight coming up. We got a shutdown like weeks away.
I mean, the guy uses more superlatives per minute than I think any other human being who's ever lived. It's just, this is the greatest. This is the best. This is the most golden.
You know, some people say, you referenced, he was complaining about the Democrats. Got a little bit of that. Let's play cut two, please, Jess.
And these people sitting right here will not clap, will not stand, and certainly will not cheer for astronomical achievements. They won't do it.
Astronomical.
What achievements? What achievements are we talking about? Okay, may I just digress briefly here, because I want to throw this one out there from the Raw story. Let's see here. The savings aren't large. Conservatives say Doge is just a distraction for what's next. A couple of these folks, a conservative from the New York Times, David French, and the Manhattan Institute's Jessica Rydell, saying that the savings that Doge is claiming won't come close to the tax cuts Republicans are planning. So just, and this goes to Trump's point, all these great, wonderful things. Here's the conservatives. In the short term, soaring borrowing will push up inflation and interest rates in 2021. We all saw how the American Rescue Plan that Biden enacted pushed up inflation that was already on track to be a little high coming out of the pandemic. That plan added about 3 more points to the overall inflation number. It also pushed up interest rates. In the long term, it's even worse. With our debt reaching levels higher than we've seen in the developed world, you will eventually get to the point where Washington can't even borrow enough money to pay for its spending. That will then force the government to go to the printing press, and then you have all sorts of problems. We want to stop the train before we get to that point. Now, Doge has claimed to have saved $55 billion, but Rydell said the real number was closer to $2 billion, maybe at best. Quote, even that $2 billion may not ultimately happen because, technically speaking, Doge cannot impound and unilaterally reduce federal spending. Any spending cuts legally have to be reprogrammed elsewhere unless Congress goes in and reduces the spending levels. So right now, I would say Doge has saved $2 billion, which, to put in context, is 1/35th of 1% of the federal budget. 1/35th of 1% of the federal budget, otherwise known as budget dust. Mm. Budget dust. So maybe it's $2 billion, according to the conservatives at the Institute and at the New York Times. Maybe. Then I got to wonder, well, how much time is being spent? How much lost efficiency, lost labor of people talking around the water cooler, right? People getting fired from their jobs and rehired and going back and forth. I mean, there's huge amounts of inefficiency going on because of the behavior and antics of this administration. I would wager to bet it's cost us more than $2 billion to jump from one foot to the other for the last 45 days than any budget dust they're going to save, Matt.
Yeah, and then they're getting rid of, you know, thousands of people at the IRS who would be collecting money for us.
So. Only from those rich people, though. That's okay, yeah, man.
And they don't want that to happen, God forbid.
Right.
And that's the thing, because, you know, the big thing coming down the mountain is this a huge snowball of tax cuts to the billionaire class and the multimillionaires. And, you know, what's that going to do to our ability to, you know, to balance the budget here and get some fiscal responsibility?
855-752-4842. A little more from the Trump address from last night. The tariffs, an adjustment period. Bear with me. Man, he was going to solve that stuff on day one. What, there's no bearing with you. Let's play cut three, please.
Our farmers starting on April 2nd. It may be a little bit of an adjustment period.
Yeah.
We had that before when I made the deal with China, $50 billion of purchases, and I said, just bear with me, and they did.
Yeah.
They did.
They did.
Probably have to bear with me again.
he paid out $28 billion from the CCC fund, which was a leftover from the New Deal. The guy tapped into the New Deal to fund the farmers who were going broke because of his action the last time around. That wasn't a loan. That wasn't a bailout. That was his cash money out the door during an election cycle to people who usually vote for Donald Trump. I think he wanted his name on those checks, too. Matt, do you recall him running on an adjustment period?
No, everything was going to be great. Now it's, you know, a little bit of adjustment. Bear with me. A little disturbance, he said some other time in the speech. You know, now he's hedging his bets and he's telling people, you know, it's going to be a bumpy ride. It's not going to be such a beautiful ride.
Well, it won't matter to him, though, right? He's not worried about paying the cable bill. He's not worried about buying eggs. You know, none of these billionaires, come on, people.
Same with Elon Musk. He said there might be a little bit of pain. Elon Musk and his family not going to be feeling any pain.
The guy lost like $14 billion in one day last week. You think he even knew about it? You know, did he even know? Unless if he didn't read the financials, he wouldn't know. Because he's so busy working for the American people. I mean, if you buy that, if you actually buy that, come on. You got to be kidding me. Have you ever met a hustler in your life? You know what I mean? Never, you ever get your pocket picked? You know what I'm saying? You ever know how to steal your backpack? That's what we're talking about here. 855-752-4842. Let's just do two more from the Orange Mussolini. Doge. Now, who's heading Doge? I don't know. Who's heading Doge? Let's hear who the president thinks is heading Doge. Cut six, please, Jess.
I have created the brand new Department of Government Efficiency.
It's not a department. Doge. You can't do that.
Perhaps you've heard of it. Which is headed by Elon Musk, who is in the gallery tonight.
Yes, Elon Musk watched when all his little workers clap for him.
He finally found a suit to wear, too.
Oh, did he? He dressed up, yeah. Huh? I got a collar.
A big blue tie.
Oh, I got a collar shirt on, you know what I'm
fancy
saying?
Fancy pants.
Yeah, but I got a collar shirt on, but I'm not wearing pants. I just got to be honest.
No pants.
No pants.
It's just flip-flops.
We are woke, no longer cut seven.
I have created the...
Sorry.
And our country will be woke no longer.
Oh, geez. We are going to embrace our ignorance,
our racism,
our bigotry.
Sexism.
We are woke no longer. Man. Mm. I mean, and Republicans, man, are down for that. They love clap. We love being ignorant. Yeah. We love lying to our constituents. We love sitting here dancing while Rome burns, man.
It was like a MAGA pep rally there on the Republican side.
Oh, my goodness. 855-752-4842. All right, so that's it. We're not going to do any more of the Trump sound. The callers, be patient. We will get to you. But let's hear some Senator Sanders. Now, some of these cuts are a little bit longer, a minute and, 50 seconds, something like that. So, we're running out of time, aren't we?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, man. All right, you know what? We're going to pause right now. We'll get to some callers. Well, we only have about 90 seconds left in the segment. Cindy, also from Appleton, you are up. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us? Hello, Cindy.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Well, first of all, we got to stop calling it the Doge. We need to start calling it the Dupes, the Department of BS. As far as I'm concerned, and I've said this before, that idiot is going to blame Joe Biden, DEI, immigrants, and whatever else he can find to blame. He's never going to take the blame, and Joe Biden will be his punching bag for the next 4 years. I mean, it's just, to me, it's like, get over it, but he never will. He's just never going to get over it.
He never will. And thank you for the call, Cindy. Appreciate you chiming in. Matt, honestly, man, it seems like he's just an old guy ranting and raving. I mean, if he were broke ass in the park yelling at the clouds, it'd sound the same to me.
But the problem is, he can deliver a speech. He's a con man. He knows how to do TV. So he does this, presentation that, a majority of Americans liked, according to the polls I saw. So, I mean, it's just, you got to find a way to respond to this. I don't think the Democrats handled it appropriately in the chamber yesterday.
Mm.
And so I much preferred Senator Slotkin's speech and Senator Sanders' speech as the best way to respond. And both of those were very effective, I thought.
855-752-4842. We're going to come back with some of your phone calls. 855-75-CIVIC-PLUS. As promised, Senator Bernie Sanders, he has some replies to this. If you don't believe me, I know you believe Bernie. Come back with us.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave?
That prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care?
Prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842-855-75 Civic. Jess P.S. working hard on the board. Matt Rothschild joining me today. You can do so as well. We played a little bit of the low lights, just a few, a little bit from Trump. Thanks, Jess. I know you don't want to do it. But now we have a guy that I truly admire and respect and wish he would have been the president. And love the way this guy thinks. And you know, there's a few people stepping up and saying things. Bernie, AOC, Matt, I know you didn't think. Let's talk about that briefly while we before we get to Bernie. The reaction of the Dems in the room, you thought was what? Not effective?
Not effective. Maybe silly. I think the waving of the signs was kind of silly and looked juvenile. I thought Representative Green standing up and waving his cane at Trump when Trump was just starting and saying something that we couldn't hear. So it was from the viewer's perspective. He just, to me, it looked just like an old, crazy old man with his cane. And I just didn't think that was effective. I know people want to see resistance to Trump. I want to see resistance to Trump. But I put myself in the mind of who are you trying to, you know, someone out there who, you know, doesn't like what Trump's doing entirely. You know, maybe we can bring him over to our side of thinking. And if you saw that behavior by the Democrats is saying, God, I don't want this. I don't want more of this partisan wrangling, even though Trump was delivering a ton of partisan wrangling from the podium. But I just don't think it was effective communication. I'm all about trying to, you know, bring people to the progressive side here. And I don't think that moved anybody. And I don't think it really inspired people either. I mean, the people walking out who had resist on their back of their shirts, that seemed okay to me. But the rest of it, I just, you know, I didn't think there was an ability to win doing stunts during a speech like this. You know, I didn't think it was good when Alito was telling Obama that he was lying and that other people were telling, you know, interrupting Obama or Biden's speech. I just don't think it's effective.
And the Republicans were fine with who said you yelled out, you lie. But now they want to censure this guy. You know, and Donald Trump, you know, certainly prodding and poking and trolling the Democrats and frankly, the United States of America as well. I mean, I don't buy any of this. This is all a scam. But, right. You know, so but that's how he does it. That's how he rolls. You know, what about, I did do some reading. He referred to Senator Elizabeth Warren as Pocahontas again. Again, a racist, disgraceful trope that he continues to use. Would have that have been an appropriate time for every single Democrat in that room to stand up and walk out? I mean, if he called,
that would have been okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some Democrats did walk out toward the end of the speech. Of course, I imagine a lot of the audience was walking out, too, because it was going on so long. But, yeah, just to have, you know, when he did that terrible name calling, he could have done it. And unfortunately, what happened while I was watching on CNN anyway, cameras, you know, they panned to Elizabeth Warren, who kept clapping like she wanted to keep aid flowing to Ukraine for another 5 years, which is what he was accusing of her. Of doing. And so it just, the optics were bad there too. So it just wasn't good all around, I didn't think.
855-752-4842. All right, let's get to Senator Sanders, his response. Let's hear the Trump's lies. Cut number one, please.
Let me just give you a very few examples.
Few. There's more.
Claimed that the 2020 election was stolen from him. And that he won by a landslide. Remember that? A lie.
A lie.
Trump claimed that the January 6th insurrection was a day of love. A lie. Trump has claimed that millions of undocumented people voted and do vote in American elections. A lie. Trump has claimed that climate change is a hoax originating in China. A lie. Trump has claimed that Ukraine started the horrific war with Russia, a lie. And tonight, just tonight, Trump claimed that millions of dead people between the ages of 100 and 360, I guess, were collecting Social Security checks. And that is an outrageous lie intended to lay the groundwork for cuts to Social Security and dismantling the most successful and popular government program in history.
Wow. And isn't that the thing? I mean, that was my biggest takeaway from not watching, but reading of what was that, what was said, the reaction to it. I mean, blatant lies. Republicans, if you think, is Bernie Sanders lying or is Donald Trump lying? Because those things I've read that happened, right? There are not 300-year-old people collecting Social Security. This is all part of the, like, laying the seed cord, getting down the groundwork for slashing Social Security. Matt, and what, and to what end? Well, so not so they can take that money and put it towards the debt. No. They got to balance out the trillions of dollars they want to give in their tax cuts to the millionaire and the billionaire class.
Yeah, that was the most outrageous thing he said. The only other one that competed with it was, we have to take care of our law enforcement. Yeah, after pardoning the January 6 folks who beat up on law enforcement.
We got to take care of our law enforcement. Is that what you did by pardoning everybody, man? Was that what that was? Taking care of the law enforcement? 855-752-4842. We have more from Bernie, but we'll wait till the next segment. We'll take a caller right now. Dick from Madison, you are up. Welcome, Dick. What do you got?
Couldn't agree with what you said earlier about, you know, just the economy in general and the stock market. And you remember the old Guess Who song, Clap for the Wolfman? Clap for the Elon, he's going to crash your economy. Buy on the short side, and the billionaires will make a lot more money.
Dick, thanks for the call, man. I have no proof, but again, knowing the mindset of these hustlers and scammers, man, knowing how Donald Trump is, I mean, how would we know? You know what I'm saying? Is there any sort of trend line we can see who's selling short and who's going long? You know what I'm saying? Those things are very concerning to me. And if it's the Trump administration in charge of overseeing what goes on Wall Street, Matt, I have no confidence that they're not just churning the action so they can just make more and more money up and down, because you make money.
A lot of volatility the last 48 hours.
Yeah, 48 hours, 48 days. Folks, This is the Dom Salvia Show. That is Matt Rothschild joining me. Got Just PS on the board. More from Senator Bernie Sanders on the other side. The problems facing America. We're talking about health care, housing crisis, the extreme wealth inequality, tax relief for the working class, ? And, of course, the closing remarks. We're going to spend some time with Bernie on the other side. Plus, the end of the show. Make sure you join us. Tell us something good. Ending on a positive note. Come back with us.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is once again asking residents to help them keep track of black bear dens across the state. According to DNR officials, residents might start seeing signs or hearing sounds like squeaking or humming of new bear cubs at this time of year. If you do stumble upon the location of a bear den, you should stay at least 30 yards away while noting any tracks, scratch marks, or damaged plants. The DNR is asking residents to take a picture of the den if safe and report its location on their online survey. State Democrats have introduced a bill that would require the Wisconsin State Legislature to convene a special session if federal funding is frozen. The legislation was introduced by Eau Claire's Christian Phelps and named the Frozen Federal Funds Emergency Act. In a press release, Phelps called the funding freezes unlawful, reckless, and cruel, and said the state needs to be ready to provide whatever support it can for communities that lose needed funding. Republicans hold majorities in both the state assembly and state senate. The Barron County Property Committee says they have paused plans for an energy audit on buildings at UW-Eau Claire Barron County due to the federal funding freeze. The energy audit would have used $75,000 of grant funding to identify energy-saving measures. Officials say they planned to apply for another $150,000 of grant funding to more widely implement those measures identified in the audit. The committee's other options for the audit were using county contingency funding or not doing it at all. A healthcare clinic in Rice Lake has announced plans to consolidate and expand their services. In a press release, North Lakes Community Clinic announced it will be relocating its Birchwood Clinic operations to a new integrated facility in Rice Lake. Officials say the consolidation will allow them to offer more services at one location, making it more convenient for residents to receive whatever care they need. The newly consolidated facility will feature behavioral health services, speech and physical therapy, and dental care. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Kieran Culkin is now an Oscar winner, having won the award for Best Supporting Actor last Sunday night. However, if Culkin had his way, someone else would have won. Just 2 weeks before the film written by Jesse Eisenberg was to start shooting, Culkin said he almost quit because the last season of Succession went on longer than anticipated and he wanted to spend time with his family. Culkin also won the Golden Globe and Screen Actors Guild Award for his performance. Being a good dad only goes so far. Speaking of the Culkins, Kieran Culkin has come a long way from playing Fuller McAllister in Home Alone alongside his brother Macaulay. Macaulay attended after parties with his wife Brenda and said he knew his younger brother was going to win because of where they sat him in proximity to the stage. The older Culkin was asked if he would see his brother later that night, and his response was, "I'm not sure. He's a busy guy." He's now Academy Award-winning actor Kieran Culkin. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some lingering flurries and snow showers, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight, and the wind dying down, a low in the low teens. Turning mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high to the upper 30s. And more sunshine for Friday, high in the mid 30s. Even warmer this weekend. Currently it's 26.
Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong, just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday, we talked to State Senator LaTanya Johnson of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, and we meet new State Assembly Representative Russell Goodwin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Just PS working on the board, spinning the hits, playing the sound. Thank you, Just Matt Rothschild, joining me today as well. You can join us as well, 855-75-CIVIC. We're getting through the Bernie Sanders, Senator Sanders' response to the Trump speech from last night. Sanders, not quite as long in his speech, but I think he had a whole lot more to say in the short time that he had to say it. So let's play it for the people. Jess, if you would, please, let's start out with cut number two.
Now, the purpose of all of this lying is not just to push his hateful right-wing ideology. It is not just to try to divide us up. It is more than that. It is a masterful effort, and you saw that tonight, to deflect attention away from the most important issues facing the people of our country, issues that Trump and his billionaire friends do not want to address because it is not in their financial interests to do so.
Matt, my understanding is Donald Trump spent about 14 seconds. You know, the things that he actually ran on. What was your take on how the president addressed, you know, some of those things, reasons he got elected on?
Yeah, I thought he was going to bring down the price of eggs on day one. Instead, you know, on day 45, he's still blaming Joe Biden for the price of eggs. I mean, he really, as Bernie was saying, was trying to deflect attention by all the stuff about, you know, DEI, all the stuff about immigrants and all the, you know, in the garish and ghoulish, you know, victims of violence, family members who are up in the crowd that he bows to. And it was just, it was a set piece. And it was, as Bernie said, to distract attention from the fact that he wants to give all these tax breaks to the billionaire friends and that they're the folks who are running the show. And the rest of us are going to suffer, and they don't care about it. He doesn't care about it. He barely talked about it last night.
Well, Bernie is talking about it today, and we're going to play it for you folks right now. Some of the real problems facing Americans that I did not see reported on, and perhaps, Matt, if these any of these were addressed that Bernie talks about, since you did spend the time, let us know, because I want to be, you know, honest and forthright with our audience. But I know what Bernie has to say. Let's start with cut number one, living paycheck to paycheck.
Today, 60% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Unlike Trump, I grew up in a family that lived paycheck to paycheck, and I know something about that reality. It means that every day, millions of Americans worry about how they're going to pay their rent, pay for childcare, pay for a doctor's visit when they get sick. They worry about what happens when their car breaks down and they can't afford the $1,000 it costs to get it fixed. And what happens when they can't get to work because they don't have a car? They worry about how they can afford to buy healthy food for their kids when the price of food is off the charts. Funny, I heard Trump speaking for 90 minutes tonight. I didn't hear one word from him about the economic reality facing 60% of our people, or the enormous stress that they are living under.
Bernie didn't hear it, Matt. I didn't read about it. Did you hear it?
Didn't hear it at all. I didn't hear anything about how he was going to bring down the price of food, for instance, groceries. He did, you know, wave at one cabinet member, said it's up to you to do it, do a good job on it. But that was his wave. You know, he didn't mention housing. You know, remember, one of the good things that Kamala Harris did was campaign to, you know, bring down the cost of housing. Not one word about housing last night.
Bernie does have something about housing. Let's skip to cut number three, please, Jess.
Mr. President, we have nearly 800,000 Americans who are homeless. Over 20 million of our people spend more than half of their limited income on housing. We have a major housing crisis in America. Everyone knows it, apparently, except you, because in your speech tonight, I didn't hear you mention the housing crisis.
Well, there's no housing crisis. He got a place in Mar-a-Lago, and he's got a place in New York. I mean, he's fine. Don't worry about it. And to think that the billionaires are going to give a damn about the rest of us, I don't know what people are smoking. For real. I mean, do you think a guy like Elon Musk or Donald Trump can relate to any of these issues? Hell no. That's why they didn't bring it up. Let's talk about healthcare. The second cup, please, Jess.
Today in America, everyone knows that our healthcare system is broken. It is dysfunctional, and it is outrageously expensive. We remain the only wealthy nation on earth not to guarantee healthcare for all. Mr. President, you really want to make America great again? Then make sure that every American, regardless of income, can go to a doctor or a hospital and not worry about how they're going to pay the bills. President Trump, healthcare is a human right. I didn't hear one word from you, not one word, over 90-minute speech, not one word from you about the healthcare crisis that is impacting many, many millions of our people.
I didn't read about it today either. Matt, did you hear anything about it last night?
No, there's nothing on healthcare. You know, it's a different world he's living in. Elon Musk is living in. All the billionaire Jeff Bezos is living in. You know, these guys, they just, you know, they don't know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck or have a kid who's living paycheck to paycheck. You know, they're in their gated communities. They're doing just fine.
They're doing just fine, and a little more tax or a little less tax, they're still going to be doing just fine. Unless, of course, the people rise up and tar and feather everybody, because eventually it's going to get to be too much. And these folks are either willfully blind to it or just ignorant as hell. Let's hear about one of Bernie's favorite topics, and it should be yours as well, something that probably is the cause of many of these problems, the extreme wealth inequality. I highly doubt Trump said anything about that last night. Senator Sanders said something about it. Let's hear it.
Today in America, we have more income and wealth inequality than we've ever had. Three richest people in America. The folks Trump invited to stand behind them at his inauguration now own more wealth than the bottom half of our society, 170 million Americans. Did anyone out there hear one word from the President of the United States on that enormously important issue, which gets to the very fabric of our society? So few owning so much while so many people suffer.
Well, I didn't read anything about that today. Matt, did you hear anything about that from Donald Trump last night?
He didn't go anywhere near that one. And don't expect him to anytime soon either.
Well, that equality, yeah, I can't stand it that Bezos and Musk are more rich than me, Trump is saying. That's the wealth inequality he's concerned about. How about the next one? Being poor is a death sentence. Senator Sanders responding to the president's speech last night.
And here's something else the president forgot to discuss. Not only is our life expectancy 4 years lower than other wealthy countries, the bottom 50% in this country, the working class of America, on average, live 7 years shorter lives than the top 1%. Got that? In other words, being poor or working class in this country today is a death sentence.
7 years. I'm certain.
Yeah, that's harsh.
Donald Trump was not addressing that. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show. Got Matt Rothschild joining me, Jess P.S., working the board. Just a few more from Senator Sanders responding to President Trump's speech last night. Let's do cut number 2-4, tax relief for the working class, question mark?
Yep. I did hear Trump talk tonight about some tax breaks for working families in terms of not taxing tips, not taxing Social Security, and not taxing overtime. Fine. But that is Trump change compared to the benefits he's going to give to the 1%. And it doesn't tell the whole story about his tax policies. According to a recent study by the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, if all of Trump's so-called America First policies are enacted, including his tariffs, which he spoke a lot about tonight, the bottom 95% of Americans will see their taxes go up, while the richest 5% in our country will see their taxes go down, way down.
Way down. And what's going to happen? Let's talk about the big, beautiful bill they're talking about in Congress right now. Cut number 5.
Tonight, In so many words, Trump urged Congress to pass his big, beautiful budget. Do you know what's really in it? This budget would cut Medicaid by $880 billion. Oh, I guess Trump forgot to talk about that. $880 billion cut in Medicaid. According to one estimate, it means that up to 36 million Americans, including millions of children, would be thrown off the health insurance they have. Hey, a 90-minute speech tonight, not one word about throwing millions of kids off of the health insurance they have. When you cut Medicaid drastically, it means that nursing homes that receive two-thirds of their funding from Medicaid will either have to shut down, lay off workers, or significantly scale back the services they provide seniors. Gee, I didn't hear that from Trump tonight either. It would be a devastating blow, these cuts to Medicaid, for the 32 million Americans who get their health care at community health centers.
Senator Sanders, a voice that I truly miss. Let's hear his closing remarks, please, Jess.
Yeah,
now, I know,
great.
Because I've heard from many of you, that there are a lot of people out there who are feeling angry and frustrated at what's going on here in Washington, D.C. And some of you may feel a bit hopeless. So let me say this. At this particular moment in history, despair is not an option. Giving up is not acceptable. And none of us have the privilege of hiding under the covers. The stakes are just too high. Let us never forget, real change only occurs when ordinary people stand up by the millions against oppression and injustice and fight back. That is the history of the founding of our nation, when brave men and women took on the mighty, invincible British Empire. It is the history of the abolitionist movement, the history of the labor movement, the history of the civil rights movement, the women's movement, the environmental movement, and the gay rights movement. Yes, I know. The oligarchs are enormously powerful. I deal with them every day. I know that. Yes, they have endless amounts of money. Yes, they control our economy, and they own much of the media. They have enormous influence over our political system. But from the bottom of my heart, I am convinced that they can be beaten. If we stand together and not let them divide us up by the color of our skin or where we were born or our religion or the language we speak or our sexual orientation, if we bring our people together around an agenda that works for the many and not just the few, there is nothing in the world that can stop us. We can win. We will win. Let us go forward together. Thank you all very much.
Folks, that was Senator Bernie Sanders responding to the speech that Donald Trump gave to Congress yesterday. Inspiring. Love. Recalling the different movements throughout history that have struggled and ultimately overcame. We all have our battles to fight. And I think what Bernie said was absolutely right. Now you cannot hide your head. You can't put the sheets over your head. You can't walk away. We need to engage. 855-752-4842. Engage with us. Tell us something good. Love me some Bernie. Come back with me, Matt, and Jess. P.S. on the board.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on.
But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs Hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the civic media app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, our last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, hit us up right now, 855-75-CIVIC. But you know the rules. If you got something to say, you got to have something good to say as well. We like to end this fine program on a positive note. Let's start. Matt, let's start with Matt. I know we had a plan, but let's start with Matt. You love the poetry, man. Last time you were on, you had some great stuff. I did go Google and YouTube some more of it. What do you got for us today?
So the poem today is by Joy Harjo. She's the former poet laureate of the United States. It's a poem called Remember. It's a really neat poem. I've been following Joy Harjo since the mid-1980s when she had a poetry book called She Had Some Horses. But this one is from a collection. I think it's called Remember also, but the poem itself is tremendous. So let's take a listen.
Remember the sky you were born under. Know each of the stars' stories. Remember the moon. Know who she is. Remember the sun's birth at dawn. That is the strongest point of time. Remember sundown and the giving away tonight. Remember your birth, how your mother struggled to give you form and breath. You are evidence of her life and her mother's and hers. Remember your father. He is your life also. Remember the earth whose skin you are. Red earth, black earth, yellow earth, white earth, brown earth. We are earth. Remember the plants, trees, animal life, who all have their tribes, their families, their histories too. Talk to them. Listen to them. They are alive poems. Remember the wind. Remember her voice. She knows the origin of this universe. Remember that you are all people and all people are you. Remember you are this universe and this universe is you. Remember.
Remember. Well done, Matt. Love it. Thank you so much.
Isn't it beautiful?
Sure. That is great.
Yeah. You know, and just by remembering, appreciating too, that's what the message is of that poem, or the message I take from it anyway. It's beautiful.
And it's hard to do sometimes, so it's good to be reminded. 855-752-4842. Tell us something good. Ollie from the Northwoods, I know you called in earlier, but tell us something good.
Well, I probably called in yesterday about this, that I had called Governor Evers' office about a concern, and I yesterday received a call back from one of his staff.
Nice.
Well, today today I received a second follow-up call from his staff. So I think that's pretty awesome.
Yes.
He's listening to his constituents, and he's listening to the people of Wisconsin. So I think that's about as good as it gets.
Yes, excellent.
And God bless Bernie Sanders. His speech I just heard on your program was wonderful. Like to say that I almost had coffee shooting out of my nose last night when Trump said that the era of non-elected bureaucrats is over. When there we stand and salute Elon Musk, who's non-elected.
I got to cut you short, Ollie. You got lots of people holding, you know, the era of unelected bureaucrats, but how about unelected billionaires? That's the new term. Yeah. Thank you for sharing, Ollie. Appreciate it. Wisco Paul, tell us something good, buddy.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I think it was about 10 years ago. You and me were hanging out and having a couple of drinks, feeling the burn. So that brought back some good memories.
Yeah, man.
And also, I'd like to shout out to Amy Barrett, Supreme Court Justice, standing up against Musk and Trump and doing the right thing and letting the money flow to the foreign countries that need it. I think that's totally awesome, and it also gives us a lot of hope for the future. The woman surprises me all the time. So have a great day and great show.
All right, thank you, Wisco. Appreciate it. The original Claire. Hey, Claire, welcome. Tell us something good.
Hi, Dom. I've got a couple quick, silly jokes for you.
Okay.
Okay. What do you call a guy with a shovel in his head?
What?
Doug.
Got to cut you short there because we got some more. Thank you, Claire. Didn't see that one coming. Charles from Milwaukee. Welcome, Charles. Tell us something good.
Oh, I just wanted to let you know my wife and I had a great time in Puerto Rico. We stayed in an Airbnb on the 18th floor facing the Caribbean Sea, and the weather was just perfect.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful place, man. Thanks for sharing, Charles. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Len from Madison, he chimes in. Something good. Forecasted high temperatures will reach 60-plus degrees next Monday and Tuesday. How about you, Jess? You got anything you want to share?
A very peaceful moment. Last night, I fell asleep to the rain against the window, and my cat curled up next to me, and even though the world outside was crazy, I hadn't watched Trump's address, and it was a peaceful moment. You got something good for us?
Well, you know, I was in Florida, and it's lovely down there when the beaches and the sand and the sun and the water. But one thing I really noticed being on the road quite a bit here in Wisconsin, the roads in Florida are great. I mean, they are smooth. They're expansive. They're almost brand new. Some got nice little reflectors on them at night. Unfortunately, they're full of Florida drivers. Thank you so much for listening to the Dom Salvius Show. Thank you, Matt Rothschild. Always a pleasure, my man. Thank you for stepping in while I was gone. Jess, thank you as well. Doing the same, producing, coming up and hosting. Man, you're awesome. Thank you to our fair audience. Thank you for joining us. We will be back here tomorrow doing it all over again. Have a wonderful evening. It will be warmer next week, so that's something good.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Day 1, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump talked with U.S. lawmakers today concerned about those tariffs. He agreed to a one-month exemption on auto imports from Canada and Mexico. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze says stocks rebounded today, but there's a lot of what-ifs.
It doesn't mean that the rest of the tariffs at this point aren't moving forward. So there is still a lot of uncertainty in the stock market and a lot of uncertainties for American businesses as they're trying to plan about what does this look like for them if we do move forward with those tariffs. And keep in mind that the White House has reiterated that it still does plan to move forward with reciprocal tariffs on April 2nd. And that would be a pretty dramatic change in cost for a lot of businesses.
Lawmakers are offering condolences after the sudden passing of Democratic Congressman Sylvester Turner of Texas. He was 70 years old. Christians are marking Ash Wednesday today, the start of Lent. In Rome, Pope Francis sent a message of hope. He's still hospitalized, battling pneumonia. This is ABC News.